Yeah, Mac finished second, and I told him, I said, you won the tournament. Cameron just played a different golf course than the rest of you guys. I mean, it was crazy. I think he won by 6 or 7, but
Yeah, he did. It was crazy, unbelievable there. All right, joining me here on the tour, coach. It's been a while, but man, from one of the cities in the United States I love to spend the most time. Not necessarily where he's sitting right now, but down at the Silver Fox, just down I-10, not too far from him. But
That's not far away, Tony.
yeah, it's a good spot. But anyways, Brian Gathright, it'd be hard to argue that there's anybody, if you're an up-and-coming player or young person that's having any more success developing people than Brian is out there in San Antonio. And Brian, first of all, thanks for taking time. I know you, like everybody this time of year, running around ragged, but nice to see you probably home in between a few tour stops, so maybe you got a little bit of time.
Well, it's interesting now. They're both off. Neither one of them got in the Elevate event, so now I'm back to work tomorrow. I got a couple of weeks here. We're going to hammer out some things and just try to get everything a little more, a little better. And they're both trending in the right direction and looking forward to a great year.
Absolutely. And so for those that don't know, Brian, Johnny Kiefer, like, man, I watched it firsthand last year. Like, obviously it was his rookie year on the Korn Ferry Tour, and I remember following him the year before. It was America's, correct?
That's
Before.
correct.
And I had some guys out there, a young guy, David Perkins, who had never had status, and he got into where it was still the second half of the year in Canada, and he earned his way to where he had had some status. But watching Johnny progress, and then watching what he did last year on the Korn Ferry Tour, and I was out a good bit. I know I saw you a handful of times, like with Emilio playing, played some really good golf and finished fourth or so. But I mean, damn, the job. I mean, he's the real deal. Talk a little bit about how you guys got started. I started asking this question after I sat with Adam Schreiber at a golf magazine thing, which is also a good time to bring up my Stakey alcohol-free drink, with THC in it. But anyways, but Schreiber was talking about helping players find their superpower, which I thought was fascinating, right? And curious. So like, and we're going to get into your other players too, but when Johnny Kiefer walks onto your tee the first time, when was it, and what was his superpower? What is his superpower?
Well, that's the walking on the tee the first time is a fun story in itself. When he came to see me, the very first time he was a freshman in high school, he had just moved to San Antonio, and I made a couple of comments that I felt like he needed to change his grip a little bit. Had a super strong grip at the time. Right hand was way underneath the club, and I saw him one time, and he didn't want to come back. And I didn't see him for about 2.5 more years. And then his senior year in high school, that's kind of when Mac and Mitchell Meisner, who I work with and you know very well, and they were starting to really have some success. And his dad sat down with him and he said, "Look, if you're going to take this seriously and take it to the next level, I really think you need to go back and see Brian." And we've been together ever since. I got back with him his senior year in high school, and he went to Baylor. Quite interestingly, he broke one of my old pupils, Jimmy Walker's all-time scoring record at Baylor,
That's pretty
which
good.
was pretty good. That was a pretty good indication there. But then what he did on the America's Tour, he made it. And you're talking about, Tony, how fragile this game is. Johnny made a 7-footer on the 72nd hole of the NCAA championship at La Costa to get the 25th spot. If he misses that putt, he doesn't get America's status. And he ends up making that putt, got the 25th and final spot for America's status, goes to Canada, not in this order. In the 10 events he played, he had a worst finish of 19th. And his other 9 finishes, not in this order, but were 6th, 5th, 4th, 3rd, 4 seconds, and a first.
That'll do it most places.
That'll
That'll
get
lock
it done
it
most
up.
places. I went up for the last event, and I actually told my wife Jill that I was going up for 3 days. I flew up on Friday just to watch him get his card, his Korn Ferry card, and everything, just to be there and support him. Well, come to find out, he ends up winning Player of the Year, obviously, and that got him an exemption into the Pro Corps. Well, he looks at me and he goes, "Hey," he goes, "I've been using this guy up here as a caddy, but he's not really a caddy, and he's never caddied without a range finder." He goes, "Any chance you could go caddy for me in a Pro Corps?" Well, I drug him all the way down to a 13th place finish in his PGA Tour event. If he had had a better caddy, he'd have probably won the dang
There,
thing.
no telling what he'd have done with a real caddy,
I know, right? I
Oh my
did kind
gosh.
of, but just a great guy. And then he turned around this year, and the first player since Scottie Scheffler to win Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year on that tour since Scottie did it in 2019. And he's just an amazing, amazing player. Interestingly, his superpower, and it's quite interesting you ask this question. They asked him when we went out to Titleist. My son Hunter works with him on his fitness. They've been doing things together for about 4 years now, doing a great job with that. And we just went out to Titleist, TPI, Scotty Cameron did all of these things out there. And they asked him what his superpower was. And he said it was putting. And I spoke up and I said, Johnny, from a club perspective, I would agree with that. I said, but I don't think that's your superpower. And he kind of looked at me and smiled. And I said, I think that's the way you manage your way around the golf course. I said, you're so good at staying even. Don't misunderstand me. He gets hot on the inside, but you can't tell if the kid is, 8 under or 8 over. And he leaves it at the golf course. He doesn't take it home with him. And he's just a remarkable young man. He was Big 12 Scholar Athlete of the Year, 3 times major counting. I mean, he's a sharp, sharp young man and works hard, like everybody does. And coincidentally, thinks your pupil Emiliano is the best iron player he's played with. So he really loves his
Well,
golf
I'll tell you
swing.
what, that's high praise coming from him. Emilio's got to, he's just going to take a medical fact. I don't know if we
I
may have
saw
guessed
that he
this.
withdrew. What happened?
He tore his labrum in his left hip. He's had it.
Oh,
It's been
no.
bothering him. Been bothering him and did all the rehab stuff trying to avoid surgery, but slipped a little out there in Phoenix. And but as a teacher though, this is kind of interesting, like you've watched the guys we've talked about and all your other players. You've watched them hit balls so long. You can watch a shot link and tell if they're okay.
100%.
Right?
Absolutely, you
You know,
can.
and I've watched Emilio play, hit so many balls over the last 7 years since I met him. In fact, I saw the picture, those Facebook memories pop up. And there was a
Yes.
picture of me in a St. Mary's jacket on the Oak Hills tee with you. You remember it was freezing ass cold. Right there, and it was before they'd redone the range and everything there at Oak Hills. You know, it was right there by the parking lot, and it popped up. And that was the first time I met Emilio. I went from there, I think, to talk to the St. Mary's team, but all the golf I've watched him play, and hit balls, and I'm watching these shot links the first few weeks, and you're like, man, something isn't right. You know, he doesn't normally miss it way left. And then big right. And then when he hits one in the fairway, it's like 20 yards shorter of what it's supposed to be at times, you know? So you knew something was wrong and he'd been doing it. And, you know, you could get it going pretty okay on the range and things would be okay. But, you know, then he had a mishap and a misstep. And, anyways, he's going to have surgery and it looks like in a week. And with the good news is it'll give him an opportunity to get back 100% because there's no point playing this game at that level if you're not 100%. You can't compete with Johnny Kiefers of the world, the young guys, or Scottie Schefflers or any Hideki or any of those guys if you're not 100%.
No, it's hard enough at your very best, and my goodness, when you're hurt, it's just it's such a hard game to play at that level. I was listening to a podcast earlier today just driving around, and they were talking, Dennis and Carl Paulson were talking about players being injured, and just you just can't do it. I mean, it's just too hard at that level anymore, and it's not getting any easier. And you look at I'm very proud of Johnny to be a rookie, go out there and make his first four cuts, and coincidentally he hadn't putted well. He is
It's
superpower, but
always the way it goes.
it is the way it goes. But he finally had a much better day putting yesterday on Sunday, and feels good about some things that he's working on and getting better. And it's just a matter of time. We're really excited that a couple of things happened with him that I don't know if I've ever heard happen. 19, 20 months ago now, he was in that, walking the stage at Baylor University. And
Crazy.
it is crazy because, he got his world ranking up by the end of the year to 46th, and that got him into Augusta. Winning the Player of the Year on the Korn Ferry Tour gets him in the Players Championship, so and the U.S. Open. So he's already in, basically. I mean, you can call him two or three majors, but I think I'd take the Players and those other two and be fine.
Yeah, oh
And
yeah. And certainly a way to play your way into the rest of it with the way he's gotten
exactly,
off to a start, you know?
exactly. And if he stays inside the top 100, which I think he very well should do, that gets him in the PGA. And he's just, you sit back, you and I've done this a long time, and you sit back and you see these kids, and it's really funny. Jill asked me a long time ago, it's been 5, 6 years ago, but while Johnny was still in college, and she said, "Look, you and I didn't meet until 2014. I know what you do. I don't know enough about it. I know how crazy it is, and I know you're the same way. We get phone calls, texts, videos, FaceTimes. You know it all times of day or night." And she said, "Just help me understand this." She said, "Who are you going to answer at 2 a.m. no matter what?" And she said, "That'll help me more than you know. If you can just tell me who those players are." And I said, "Well, it's Mitchell and Mac Meisner, because I've been with them forever since they were little kids, and Johnny Kiefer." And that was at least 5 or 6 years ago. You've just know, Tony, you don't know what it is, but they have it. And he's
Correct.
one of those players.
100%.
Yeah, he's just always
Well, you've
been.
done an unbelievable job, because I think, you get those players. I always feel like we're a steward of those players, right? And I watch, you see guys out there, kids, there's some of them are playing the tour now that had tour cards locked up. Unbelievable college players, and they get with somebody or somewhere that tries to change that and put their fingerprints on them. And I mean, they can work their way to not having a way to play for a living. And I think it's one thing to say, like, oh, you've developed, but like done it repeatedly. And I always say one of the great compliments is you've had these talented people and not messed them up. I mean, that, like, people laugh when you say that, but like, that's a talent. Like, to take these uber talented players and develop them and not have make anybody worse. Like, people think that's easy. It's not.
It's not easy. I had a member the other day I was working with, and I'd just gotten back from San Diego. I went out to Palm Springs and San Diego. I hated to miss Phoenix. I love Phoenix, but we had to be home sometime. And
You have to.
Johnny and Mac both like for me to kind of come to the middle events, and since they were both playing the first four, they've thought it would be good. And I've done that with Mac the last few years, where I'd go to watch him actually play golf at Palm Springs, not be there for the practice rounds, and then go over and do the practice rounds, the first couple of rounds in San Diego, and then come home. So that's worked very, very well, and it was great to see. But it's just been with Johnny, it's been unbelievably special, and he just continues to push himself to get better. And The thing that I would tell you, he played practice round on Monday at Phoenix with Scottie Scheffler, and Scottie was behind him, and he waved Scottie up. This past year, he got in the PGA Championship, and we're on the first hole on Tuesday, playing a practice round, and we're stuck behind Mav McNealy and Justin Thomas, and can't remember somebody else, and we're just a single between them. Well, Patrick Reed and Sergio are behind him, and he tells Joe, his caddy, he goes, "Hey, wave those guys up. I don't want this to take all day and me by myself." And so he's just, I like to say it this way. I've always tried to get my guys to become comfortable being uncomfortable. And you know what I mean by
I've
that.
heard
I
that.
want to push them to actually put themselves into settings that may not be as comfortable for them. And obviously, with Patrick and Sergio both being live players, of course, I laughed. I said, "You wave them up as they were walking up." I said, "Boy, this will start a rumor or two with the success you've had."
100%. You got to be careful about that now.
But,
100%. That's crazy. I mean, I remember it was a few years ago in Louisville at Valhalla PGA. Andy Ogletree had earned his way in through the Asian Tour and then li and not through LIV, but he was on LIV, but played a practice round and we got rained out. But on the first tee, and Scotty comes up and is like, "Do you mind if I join you?" And everybody's like, "No." And Scotty's caddy at the time, or excuse me, Andy's caddy at the time, I believe, knew him, and we played a few holes. And as you know from being out there in Texas, being able to walk a few holes with Randy Smith's always a nice treat as well. So it doesn't get any better than that. But let's talk about the Meisner boys, because like I remember seeing them way back. Like, I mean, this was what, like 15? 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there.
15, 16 for sure. And I've
Yeah,
worked with
I'm thinking it was
Dolly.
15, 16.
Yesterday was Mac's 27th birthday, and I started working with him when he was 11. So we've
Wow.
been at it a while, to say the least.
What do
And
you think's the secret to staying with guys like that?
I think a couple of things with them, Tony, that I've always been honest with them. I treat them like family, but I treat them, I'm a coach, not a pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. I don't mind having the hard conversations. I'll even share when Mac was struggling a little bit last year. And it's just he and his caddy had split up. He wasn't having any fun. Golf was hard. He had missed five straight cuts. And I flew up to Louisville, and I told him when I got there, I said, "Look, I said, I want to have dinner with you either tonight or tomorrow night. I don't care which one." And we'd both been traveling on Monday. And he said, "Could we do it tomorrow night?" And I said, "Absolutely." And we went, and I found they set me inside. I got there before him, and it was loud inside. And it was hotter than Hades in Louisville. Okay. And I asked him, I said, "Hey, can we sit on the patio outside?" It wasn't very pleasant. But I wanted to be able to have a tough conversation with him because, those are the things that you and I do that people don't see sometimes when a player's struggling. And I just sat down with him and told him, I said, "Look," and this is one of the things about teaching brothers, and this is a great story. Mitchell was having an unbelievable year, and the stars and planets kind of lined up for Mitchell not to get his card. I felt so bad for
Yeah,
that
that was
kid. And
awful.
I
At
mean,
the end, I was following that.
he played great all year long, and it took one player finished second 2 of the last 3 weeks to pass him. Another couple of players won that passed him, and he ended up missing by 37 points. And then he's standing on the 72nd tee at Tour School in December, and if he makes birdie, he's in a playoff there. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. So he's been that close, last year twice. And but at that point in time last year, it looked like Mitchell was going to be on the tour, and Mac was struggling somewhat with the fact I've been wanting my brother out here forever and crap, I'm going to lose my card. And I sat down with him and I just talked to him and I said, Mac, I said, you've been too good a player for too many years. I said, you've already had great success at this level. You're a PGA Tour player. You hit it way too well not to be. I said, if the worst thing that happens, you have to go back to the Korn Ferry Tour. I said, you'll learn things and you'll be right back out here. I said, you're going to play golf as long as you want to play golf, the way you hit it and the way you chip and pitch the ball.
Agree with that.
And long story short, we had a great, about a 2.5 hour conversation. Hugged each other when we left. I told him I'd see him the next morning at the pro-am. We did that. He didn't have a great week that week, but we were in the middle of a temporary caddy, and we got Jaime Marino, who you probably know. Jaime's been out there for a long time, caddied for Max
For a long
Greizerman,
time.
and yeah, a long time. And he and Mac have just absolutely hit it off. And I don't want to say it, but they've had a lot of success, and they played every Sunday since they got together. And Mac went on, and I went over the next week. They were playing, or a couple of weeks later, they were playing in Minnesota. I'd flown to. He actually that was when Jaime got on the bag because he had talked to me about caddying, and I said, I'll caddy, but I'd already committed to go to the Chicago event, the NV5 with Johnny and with Mitchell. And he said, well, I can't do that to my brother. And I said, well, I'll come over on Wednesday and I can caddy or whatever. And then that was the night that Jaime actually reached out to him and said, hey, I'd like to talk to you about you giving me a chance to work for you. So I actually was at the NV5 Classic in
Chicago.
Chicago, which interestingly Johnny won that event for his for a great win there, his second win, and kind of solidified him getting his card for sure. We already, I think he had it locked up, but that really helped. And then I flew over to watch Mac, and Jaime had gone to work for him that week, and it's just been such a difference. He's really matured. He finished 13th that week in Minnesota. Then he went to the Wyndham the next week. And if Cameron Young doesn't have the
Yeah, he
tournament
played
of his
amazing at the
life,
win.
yeah, Mac finished second. And I told him, I said, you won the tournament. Cameron just played a different golf course than the rest of you guys. I mean, it was crazy. I think he won by 6 or 7. But
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was crazy, unbelievable there.
yeah, and but it's really matured him. And Mac has not. He's actually coming in tomorrow afternoon for us to do a bunch of work. He'd gotten the club way shut and way up and outside, and he's been dropping it under a little bit under plane coming down. And we're just trying to clean that up a little bit. And he's got a couple of weeks wanting to work on it. But the good news is and they may not have been totally accurate, but of all the guys that have played all four events, they said only 10 of them have made all four cuts, and I'm proud to say that Mac and Johnny are two of the 10. They've both played all 4 weekends, and Mac had an 18th place finish yesterday, and I'm really proud that his putter's coming along. He's doing some great things there. Not hitting it as good as he normally does, which is it's really exciting to see him playing on the weekend, having good finishes when he's not hitting it the best that he can.
Don't you think that's one of like the steps of players becoming really good, you know, is like I mean, we all teach so many. I mean, so many of these kids now can just smash the hell out of it, and you watch them, and you don't know how they don't play better. But like to me, the process of these young pros of when you get them to where, you know, they have a good finish, and they say, you know, I didn't hit it that good, or you know, this part of my game wasn't very sharp at all. Like when these guys or girls are able to figure out how to be competitive at that level and not have their best game, to me, that's like an unbelievable like development, and like when you know you've really turned the corner with a player and that they're about to do something special to me.
I really believe that. I told Mac yesterday, I said, look, I'm so proud of you because I know you're not hitting it great. Okay. I said, but, well, and I don't think I've mentioned this, and you're probably not aware of it. So, for all of our young listeners and viewers out there tonight, He was five over after three on Thursday.
Jeez.
And he finished off that round with another bogey and made and ended up making six birdies, a bogey, a double, and a triple, and shot even par and then ended up nine under for the tournament. So I was so proud of him. He played 14 under par from the fourth. He started on the back. So from 13 on through number nine on Thursday, he played 14 under par golf, not hitting it to his liking.
And
So
so many juniors out there, recreational golfers, people wanting to get better that don't get that like you can start off. I mean, just because you go bogey double the first two holes doesn't mean you can't get it back. Like that's such an important lesson for people. And like to me, when I go watch a player, like I watch that more than I watch like the good holes. It's like, how do they handle the adversity? Like, or when they go double bogey, bogey, that was something I watched with Emilio early this year. Like, finished poorly at Sony the first day, has a freaky deal where ball round the green banks off the lip of a bunker, goes OB, makes double on his last hole. Right,
Oh, yeah.
and then comes back the next day, first PGA Tour event as a full member, and he birdies 17 and 18 to make the cut on the number. Like, I look at those things, like, how do they do when the stuff isn't going their way? Like, to me, that's what, like, where and with junior golfers, like, I just think that's such a big deal. They think these coaches are only watching when they play really good and stuff, but like, man, like it's more impressive and more important watching what they do when stuff doesn't go their way.
Oh, and I love to see in the juniors, what did you shoot the second day of a 2-day tournament after you played like crap the first day? Because that's the kid that I love to work with, because that kid that'll figure out a way to get it in the next day and just shoot a good round. It doesn't matter where he finishes. Say he shot 78 or 80 the first day, and then he comes back the second day and shoots, something par or better. That to me shows so much heart and so much maturity, because I told Mac he played like a professional this week. Look at what the best player in the world did this week. People were
Yeah,
talking
that's
about him.
impressive. Same deal.
Exactly. People talk about him missing the cut on Thursday and early on Friday on the telecast, and he almost won the golf tournament. So
He's unreal right now, is he not?
he is amazing. I had a
Yeah,
nice
he's.
conversation with Randy. Randy, and like you mentioned, I'm telling you, I actually told Randy this at Oakmont last year when Johnny was in the U.S. Open up there. And you want to talk about a bad situation for a coach? So Johnny and Mac were in a sudden death playoff for one spot to go to the U.S. Open.
Oh boy. How did you handle that? That's
You
when you
just.
need to drink a steak egg, Brian.
That's exactly right, or three.
Yes.
But I was up there and I saw Randy on the range, and I've known Randy, to give you an idea, Tony, back 100 years ago when I was trying to chase the ball around a little bit, Randy used to let me come out to Oak Hills when I was in the Dallas area. I mean, to Royal Oaks. I mean, had a flashback to Oak Hills, but to Royal Oaks. And let me practice out there some when I would be in town. I've known him. We've done teaching seminars together, different things. And I walked up to him on the range and I said, "Randy," I said, "I never have told you this, but I really want to thank you." And he goes, "For what, bro?" He said, "I hadn't done anything." And I said, "No, you really have." I said, "You've really, growing up in Texas," he's just enough older than I am, Tony, that he's inspired me watching how he's developed all these amazing players. And I mean, it goes back to Justin Leonard, Harrison Fraser, Gary Woodland, obviously Scotty. I mean,
But on and on and on.
and a million more, exactly. But I just so admire the simplicity of his approach, how he's like family to those guys. I mean, they love him to death. And that's the thing that I see in you and Emilio. Emilio's, there's not a, I'm going to tell you what, he and Johnny Kiefer, Forget the golf. Those two guys have a smile on their face every
All the
single
time.
time you see them, and that's so refreshing. And honest to God, it's what this game needs more of. It
No
truly
question.
is.
Yeah, especially over the last few years where everything got so much about money. I think getting back to having good, and again though, like you mentioned, like Johnny with the, barely, if he doesn't finish the way he did at NCAAs, he doesn't get Americas. And yet we're trying to make it harder for people to get out there and have less of those stories. I don't, Brian, I just, because I look at like the young guys you've brought up, obviously I'm passionate about it. Look at how long Randy's been doing it, and not in heck between y'all's Chuck, right? Chuck
Oh,
Cook. So
exactly.
all this great
Exactly.
instruction and all the great juniors and to all these people. And it's like you wonder, like, are we going to get where there's less of those stories? Because it's
Well,
just hard. It's so damn hard.
look at the America's Tour the last 2 years. I mean,
Yeah,
you're looking
crazy.
at Johnny Kiefer and Michael Brennan, and then you look at Emilio comes and off the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, these guys are great players.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming out there ready to play on the PGA Tour. And if we're taking away those opportunities, what happens if Johnny Kiefer ends up playing mini tours and doesn't get through the second
Right.
stage of Q School or something, which is not, by the way, an easy thing to do in case you.
No. Great. Right? And it's like you wonder where we're going with that, right? And I've always thought like I'm probably going to get banned from the tour now, lose my credential for this. But like, I know we're trying to be more like football is what it seems like we're going to next. But like golf's different than football. And I'm a huge NFL fan. I'm a Saints season ticket holder. I love everything about it. But like golf's different. And like, man, like I love that we go to Sony the first week or second week of January and that the Hawaiian Open's out there. I love the history of like where you taught at PGA West that like when I was out there and I was walking through the clubhouse that there's Bob Hope photos in the hallway. And I remember as a kid, watching Glenn Campbell sing Rhinestone Cowboy at the Bob Hope. Like to me, that's part of our heritage and our history. And I just, shit, I just really hope it doesn't go.
I do as well. And like this past Bob Hope, or well, I still call it the Bob Hope, but the Amex. But I'm out there with Johnny and Mac at the place I started out my career teaching. I was a young assistant, and that's where I first started giving a bunch of golf lessons. Because when I worked at Oaktree before I went out there, all we did was play golf with the members for money at Oaktree. We didn't give any lessons there. Nope, they just wanted to play golf with you. But when we moved to the desert, well, Jay Coletti got us teaching a ton. We had a huge teaching program just from guys in the shop. And of course, I would have to go back and give everybody I taught a lesson to their money back because I taught it
Don't
like
do
most of us did. I told them everything I knew in about 20 minutes, you know.
it. I don't even know if I could make it that long when I started.
Oh God, it was terrible. I'm telling you, but thank God we've persevered. And I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today if, and I can't not mention my mentor and Harvey Pinnick. There was just never a better gentleman on planet Earth. And the last conversation I had with him, Tony, Harvey held my arm and he made me promise that I would go out on my own after he passed away. I mean, this is literally on Thursday before he died on Sunday. We were supposed to stay 5 minutes, and at about 7 minutes, Helen, his wife, stuck her head in the door and cleared her throat. Harvey looked at me and started another story and said, "Sit down." And about 10 minutes later, Helen comes to the door with her arms crossed like that. And I stood up. I said, "Miss Peenick, I promise I'm leaving. I'm leaving." Harvey grabbed my arm right here on my left arm, looked at her with the biggest go to heck look you've ever seen, and looked at me and said, "I'm 90 years old. Sit down." And we had another hour and a half conversation after that. And he was adamant about a couple of things that I'll never forget, and is the greatest thing in the world. He said, "I know you would stay here and run these schools for the rest of your life because I know how much it's meant to you to to be here with me. And this was him talking. And I said, well, absolutely, Harvey. And he goes, and you got to promise me. He said, you don't have to do it immediately, but he knew he was not going to make it. He was in hospice care. And he said, you got to promise me. He said, you don't have to do it immediately, but at the right time, you got to go do your own deal. And he said, and then you just make sure of one thing. He said, you try to learn something every day that's going to make you better. And you know, Tony, that's the thing that I know you had great mentors and Hank and all the guys that you've worked with over the years. I did as well, and I'm so glad to rekindle a friendship with you and opportunity to see you out like we do and everything. And I
Well, I
want to
appreciate that.
go, really do, and I want to go share a cocktail and a dinner, and I'll buy it next time somewhere.
Yep,
Okay.
yep. Well, I don't know if you know this, but I still have cocktails.
I might have one or two
You
as well.
know, you talk like, wrapping this up, but like your story about Harvey and, I said this to a group of young teachers, and I'd like your, like, you had Harvey, I had Hank and Wayne and Woody and, like, even to this day, Hank's passed on, like Harvey's passed on for you. But like, I don't have any doubt. I said this to Woody. Woody and I went fishing a couple weeks ago, and I was picking his brain on some business stuff. And but I said, I don't have any doubt that if I was doing something stupid, going down the wrong way teaching or doing something, that one of them would call me and jerk a knot in my tail, right? And like, they'd still kick
Guaranteed.
my ass. And Hank, before he passed, he would do it every now and then. And but all these young t everybody comes out now, and you can buy a TrackMan or a quad and an iPad and go lease some space on a tee and get you an Instagram account and start putting stuff out. And I saw a guy played at a small college that, he's in Texas, like I know, like, and he hadn't been out 2 years, and he's got all these followers. He's putting this stuff, like, this guy hasn't taught 200 lessons, Brian.
Oh, it
Like,
just breaks
and I
my heart.
worry about golfers listening to it, because like we weren't allowed to put stuff out or do stuff till you got to a certain
No.
point, I was just curious your thoughts on that, because like when you started talking about Harvey and you started talking about those old mentors, we were lucky. I'm glad I didn't come up under the time where I could just go try to do it the easy way.
Oh, I'm so thankful for that because. Here, the thing that I'll share a conversation I had with two different people with Harvey was one because Harvey always said, don't ever discount different theories on swing. He said, there's a lot of ways to swing this golf club. And he said, you may not agree with a certain way, but you listen and you learn because you might pick up one thing that may help you with a pupil. And I'm not picking on stack and tilt. I'm just going to use this as an example because we,
Absolutely.
yeah. And what he said was if somebody is rocking off, this was, and the other person I had this conversation with was Butch Harmon. And Butch said the same thing. If somebody's rocking off the ball, maybe you do pick up
Make
something
them
from
feel,
to make them feel a little more centered, a little more stable. But
Mm-hmm.
Harvey was always that way. He said one of the things that he said that he felt like made him the instructor he was, a lot of people don't know this about him, but he coached the University of Texas men's golf team for 32 years. But the thing that he does that, or he did, I mean, that nobody does today is he went and spent a day with every recruit he ever brought to the University of Texas and their teacher. And he spent a whole day with them, watching them take lessons, watching them chip, watching them pitch, watching them putt. Not him doing anything, him listening as to how they'd been taught. And Harvey told me he learned more doing that than anything he ever did in his life because there were a lot of good teachers in Texas at that point in time. And you know, he just was incredible at doing things like that. And of course, he you know, Byron Nelson were friends. He and Hogan were friends, and he just learned so much. But it just scares me today. And I asked Butch. This was when Noda was playing the Masters in 2001. Noda was injured, but he and Tiger were playing a practice round on Tuesday. And of course, at that point in time, we couldn't go inside the ropes. We were outside the ropes on three, and we were waiting on them to walk from two green back to three. And I said, and Butch and I'd spent a lot of time around each other because Note and Tiger were teammates at Stanford. They were teammates on the President's Cup and played a lot of golf together. And I said, "What advice would you give me?" And he said, "Pro," he said, "just stick to solid fundamentals." He said, "There's plenty of people out there trying to reinvent this game and always trying to be smarter than everybody else." And he said, "You just stick to teaching solid fundamentals and everything will work out the way it's supposed to." And I
It
think that's
does.
some great advice. I mean, it scares me with everything that we see with all the technology. And I'll share something with you on technology. At Torrey Pines, Max hitting some balls on the range and the ball's drawing. I mean, that's the nicest 5 days in a row I've ever seen out there. I mean, it was there, the heli or the hang glider airport wasn't open. There was no wind, dead calm, 72 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. So the ball's drawing, okay? And his, I won't even use the name of the device, but his device was saying it was cutting. And we're sitting there looking at it. It's like it's not. Now, it was just a glitch, but it had been doing it for a couple of weeks. Well, what does that do to a player that's depending on that thing? I mean, and
What
it's
if you're a
still
teacher? What if you're a teacher that isn't experienced and
oh
just believes that?
yeah.
Right?
I mean, you're sunk as a player, and I know you've heard this because you and I had similar type mentors. But I can tell you this, and this is the scary part and the sad part. I'm still afraid there's way more people out there that can mess you up than help you.
That's true.
And what you said earlier, I really appreciate as a wonderful compliment because I'm going to tell you, I've been blessed with some amazing young players. I've got a girl at the University of Arkansas right now that is in the Augusta National Women's Am this year. I'm excited for Reagan, and you know, it's just such a wonderful opportunity to be to have the gift that these people bring us, and you just have to be so cautious and so careful. And I've told players, and I know you have too. I'll tell somebody. I've done this with Mac a whole bunch because I know he's smarter than I am. He made one B in his life, and he graduated with a finance degree from SMU in 4 years. He's a smart kid, okay? But I will tell him, you know what? Let me think about this overnight, and I'll get back with you tomorrow. And I
That's kind of a
just
great coach and a great teacher. And like I'll be just scratching my head and I'll send a video to somebody else that I trust and know, right?
I do the exact same thing. I promise you
I mean, we've
that.
done that before over the years. I mean, so I think, yeah, I mean, I think that's just part of it. And I think when you think you know it all is when you're about to get wham, right?
Yeah, for sure. No question that.
Well, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. This is great. Great stuff. Congrats too on all not just all those three guys, but heck, so many of the top junior players and the young players coming out of Texas. There's so much great instruction there. But I mean, you're leading it all. Appreciate you sitting down. I know we had a little scheduling, me trying to get through all the traffic coming down the turnpike tonight. But look forward to seeing you. I'll see you out there in a few weeks, and we'll get together and we'll have us a glass of wine or a steak.
That sounds great. Are you going to the players?
I am not. Nope. Not
Okay.
now. So, but I'll catch you soon, I'm sure.
We'll run into each other for sure, Tony. Thanks so
All right.
much as
See you soon.
always, and appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Bye.